Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Every Republican who's gone on TV the last 12 hours or so has called this the Schumer shutdown. What do you say about that name? Senator Schumer, can you hear me?
I can't hear.
Senator Schumer, can you hear me? I don't think Senator Schumer can hear me right now. Maybe the government shutdown included audio on Capitol Hill.
Ah, a little joke there from John Berman on CNN. They do some things that are funny every once in a while. Dwayne Patterson is here from the Dwayne's World podcast and also a contributor to hotair.com. How are you this afternoon?
I'm doing great. You know, as this whole thing is developing, I've been actually kind of working as I were producing a radio show. I've been actually working on my column for Hot Air for tomorrow, and it's you remember the old 1956 movie, The Ten Commandments, the Cecil DeMille one, you know, with you know Pharaoh and Moses.
I may have seen that 45 years ago. Yes.
Okay. Well. I'm a traditionalist. I watch it every year around Easter because it's on. It just, I don't know. It's tradition. Anyway.
Sure.
You remember when Pharaoh let the Hebrews go and they're off in the wilderness and he's sitting in his throne next to Queen Nefertiti, his wife, and she says, "Do you hear laughter, Pharaoh?" In mocking and derision because of the decisions he's making and the course he's taking. She's bitter because they just lost their son. All this. Do you hear laughter, Pharaoh? That's what we're hearing in D.C. with Chuck Schumer. Because whether it's what you just played, which I'm going to include in my piece tomorrow because it's a very funny, but even CNN is mocking Chuck Schumer because he's doing the Seinfeld shutdown. It's a shutdown about nothing. I mean, you really can't point to what he's doing other than he thinks if he can out AOC, that New Yorkers will like him in the primary next year. I got a newsflash for him. He's going to lose anyway.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know if
he gets nothing out of it.
Yeah. Well, okay, let's kind of break down what they claim that this is about, because what they claim that this is about is the Obamacare subsidies, which really have nothing to do with the CR that expire at the end of this year. Speaker right. Johnson's point is you're talking about a policy point that we will deal with in December. This is something different. Chuck Schumer voted for this very same spending level in March. Now, he was heavily criticized by Nancy Pelosi and others because he did not extract anything from the other side. But what reasonable, legitimate path to use whatever leverage they really don't have could come into play here to end the shutdown from the Democrats' perspective. I don't see how they get out of this without caving.
Well, and they're going to cave. I mean, that's the thing. Whenever there's been a shutdown or a filibuster or any kind of blockage, enough pressure builds up that blockage almost inevitably caves, and it serves to just be a delay. And that's all that happens, right? I mean, eventually the system ends up righting itself, and you don't have a government shutdown for 5 years on end. It just doesn't happen. It goes for a while, and eventually the side doing the blocking, they lose enough support where it falls apart, right? I mean, that's what happens. Here's what happened in this one. They weren't even in lockstep on the first vote to bring in the shutdown. Ch- Chuck Schumer had 45 members of his, or actually, what is it? 47 members of his conference, and he lost three on the first vote. He lost Angus King, an independent, but has always conferenced with Democrats. He lost Catherine Cortez Masto of Nevada, and he lost John Fetterman. He knew he was going to lose Fetterman because Fetterman doesn't want any part of this.
Right.
It's dumb, and he recognizes it's dumb. So he lost three on the first day. Then you get to the vote a little bit earlier this afternoon. I don't know if you were even on the air yet when this happened. We were just going on the air when this vote took place to try to do it again. John Thune, the majority leader of the Republicans, is going to call this vote every day, with the exception of Yom Kippur, which is tomorrow and early Friday. He's going to call this vote up every day and force the Democrats to walk the plank until he can see we're going to peel off one this day. We may peel off two more the next day. But eventually they will peel them off because you can't defend this. It's indefensible. Well, it's dumb.
So that was, I think, about an hour before I took the air. But you posted something, and you shared this with me on the X formerly Twitter, Dwayne, where you kind of circled the huddle that was on the Senate floor that looked like, you know, they were negotiating on some things. And you had a little bit of a handicapping of that particular photo, didn't you?
Yeah. See, that's grand because John Cornyn, the number two in the Republicans in the Senate, crossed over while they're holding the vote. You know, it's an open vote, takes 15, 20, 25 minutes to do. And he's talking to everybody in the chamber, and he huddles with Mike Rounds, another Republican of North Dakota. And there is not one, not two, but a gang of eight Democrats that are all in a huddle without Chuck Schumer anywhere nearby. And they're talking about, okay, how do we get out from under this? And Cornyn is basically given the Godfather routine, right? Cornyn is saying, here's our offer. You get nothing. You're either going to cave, or this is just going to get worse for you because you're now going to be responsible for all these permanent federal layoffs, firings, which you can't do anything about because there's no existing law anymore because you shut the government down. So Russ voted OMB, and Donald Trump can fire 300,000 federal employees if he wants legally, and there's no recourse for it. And it's on you. Good luck.
Yeah,
that's what you want.
And it's interesting, you point out that, look, there's a lot of people in the MAGA side of the equation, they don't like John Cornyn very much. And he's actually playing a pretty important role here.
Look what he could potentially be doing here. If he brings this to a conclusion and gets seven or eight Democrats to cave and shorten the length of this shutdown so that our military gets paid, look what that's going to do to the political left. What do you think the fever swamp on MSNBC is going to
do? They'll go nuts. Yeah, they'll go nuts.
If John Cornyn gets eight Democrats to cave, they're going to go bonkers.
But also, they will. They'll go crazy. But what your point was also this, and I think this is interesting. What does this do to a guy that thinks he's helping himself politically? Because that's a big L on the forehead for Chuck Schumer if that goes
way. It ends his career. I honestly don't know how he remains the Democratic leader until his term ends at the end of next year. Oh, I'm sure he's going to run again, and I'm sure he wants to be leader. But honestly, is anybody going to follow his advice? And if he twists your arm, is it really going to be that hard of a grip when he twists your arm from now on out if he can't hold this group together?
So you think?
I don't think so.
Well, I don't think so either. But your opinion at this point is, you have John Cornyn and other leaders. The Republicans are going to make it very clear to the moderate Democrats that, look, this is what we're doing, and it's either our way or the highway this time. And then, of course, they got to do it all again at the end of the year. Do you think we'll ever have a conversation, Dwayne, you and I, or anybody else, about an appropriations bill instead of a CR?
Oh, absolutely. Look at what the House has already done. I mean, the reason this is a 9-week CR or a 7-week CR or whatever they're trying to do is just because the Democrats have slow-walked everything else that they're behind schedule. But they have actually done this. The House has already passed, what is it, four or five different of the 12 appropriations bills, and there's about four or five more that are like within a week of being done and passed. The Senate has already done a three appropriations bill for this year, defense, the executive branch and agriculture, they lumped into one overall Senate bill, and they passed that already. So for the first time in years, they've actually done some of the work on the appropriations bills, and that's the regular order that where you would have this debate about whether we're going to fund illegals or extend or enhance Obamacare subsidies. You do that during the appropriations process, and that's what the Democrats don't want to do because they don't control the committees. So they're picking this fight now as a political stunt, and it's not going to work. It's not the time to do it. John Cornyn said on our show earlier this afternoon, on Hugh's show earlier this afternoon, what I told them, and he made my day by saying, oh, yeah, I saw your tweet. Absolutely, I saw your tweet, which I thought that was just grand. He knows who I am. I'm a producer. Nobody knows me. But he says, what I told them is you may want to negotiate, but there is no negotiation. We're not going to talk. We're not going to even give you ground on anything until you shut the shutdown down. Until you end this nonsense, there's nothing to discuss. We're going to win. You're going to lose. It's just a matter of time. How bad do you want it to hurt?
Yeah, but how?
That's what John Cornyn said.
I love that, and I hope that that's the way it goes. But Schumer's going to have to try to save face somehow. I don't know how you do it.
The only thing that Schumer did that I thought was an overture, if this is a two-act play and you've already had the intermission, you know that entre-arc music that kind of leads you back into Act Two? That was Chuck Schumer leaving the Oval Office yesterday afternoon when he spoke to the press on the White House lawn, and he said, well, for the first time in a long time, we feel like the president actually listened to us, and we think that's a big step. That's a big victory that for the first time we think that the president has heard our concerns. And so I'm hearing that going, okay, so you're going to define victory however narrowly you can, but that sounded to me like the kind of rhetoric of somebody that's getting prepared to cave.
What did you think about this whole episode? Because obviously they were very offended at CNN and MSNBC by this AI-generated Schumer, and Hakeem Jeffries with a sombrero.
There's no way to sugarcoat it. Nobody likes Democrats anymore. We have no voters left because of all of our woke trans bullshit. Not even black people want to vote for us anymore. Even Latinos hate us. So we need new voters. And if we give all these illegal aliens free health care, we might be able to get them on our side so they can vote for us. They can't even speak English, so they won't realize we're just a bunch of woke pieces of shit, you know? At least for a while, until they learn English and they realize they hate us too.
That's so good. I'm sorry. People have way too much time on their hands out there with the interwebs.
But that was glorious.
It really was. It's racist, though. It's racist, Dwayne. Don't forget that. Because of the sombrero, it's racism. I'm not sure how, but it is.
See, here's the fun part about this, and you're helping me write my column, actually. Remember, the overall theme is, do you hear laughter, Pharaoh? So at the White House press briefing today, Vice President J.D. Vance shows up and starts to brief the media alongside Carolyn Leavitt. And J.D. Vance is just so gosh darn smooth and articulate in how to do this. And he is taking the media on one right after another, portraying this rightly as Schumer shut down.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Using facts, reason, very succinct, doing his thing. And then a reporter says, yeah, but what about these videos? What about, don't you think that's not very presidential? And don't you think that's not helping?
Okay, hang on. Let me play the audio because I have that queued up here. Here we go.
You've said that you're interested in good faith negotiations with these leaders, but, you know, what message does that send? Is it helpful to post pictures of leader Jeffries in a sombrero if you're trying to have good faith talks with him?
Oh, I think it's funny. The president's joking and we're having a good time. You can negotiate in good faith while also poking a little bit of fun at some of the absurdities of the Democrats' positions and even, you know, poking some fun at the absurdity of the Democrats themselves. I mean, I'll tell Hakeem Jeffries right now, I make this solemn promise to you that if you help us reopen the government, the sombrero memes will stop. And I've talked to the president of the United States about that. Now,
Mark Reardon, when is the last time that you heard a White House press corps laughing with a Republican vice president?
Not very often. You don't hear it. Yes, like
they laughing at?
Yeah, they're laughing at Chuck Schumer, I believe. And Hakeem Jeffries in the claim. Look, let me play the other answer, because the other answer is good, too. Is it racist?
Hakeem Jeffries said it was racist, and I know that he said that, and I honestly don't even know what that means. Like, is he a Mexican-American that is offended by having a sombrero meme? I mean, I saw one of the major TV stations put the meme up and then say, this is AI-generated, and he had, like, the curly animated mustache, too. It's like, do you really not realize the American people recognize that he did not actually come to the White House wearing a sombrero and a black curly animation mustache? Like, give the country a little bit of credit. We're all trying to do a very important job for the American people. The President of the United States likes to have a little bit of fun when he's doing it, and I think that's okay.
So piggybacking off of that, think about this for a little bit, because I think that what J.D. Vance accomplished in that room is a great representation of the authenticity and the connection that he and Trump have with the American people. Because who amongst the Democrats, outside of Fetterman, all right, is there one Democrat that can shoot the you-know-what with reporters in the room, sound natural doing it, not pulling from sound bites, being authentic, keeping it real, calling balls and strikes? Who is that Democrat that can do that? Now, there's a couple of talented people out there like Andy Beshear in Kentucky and Josh Shapiro in Pennsylvania. But the way that he is so comfortable in that setting and never has to stumble over his words like the word salad we experienced for 4 years, it's really impressive.
There's only a handful. You can maybe name people like Josh Shapiro out of Pennsylvania. He's pretty good dealing with media. I would say Jared Golden, a little bit out of Colorado, can be like that. Gavin Newsom can't. He thinks he can. He thinks he can, you know, get down and have fun and be real with people.
But Rahm Emanuel can, I would say.
Rahm Emanuel can. He will fight you when he's serious and he wants to hit you on policy. He'll certainly get in the gutter and do a street fight with you. But when he knows his side is being stupid, he realizes the long-term impact is you have more gain long-term by admitting you're stupid now than try to defend the indefensible.
Yeah, he's on the complete other side of most of where the Democrat Party is right now. Dwayne Patterson from HotAir.com and also the Dwayne's World podcast with us. All right, so one more topic here on, and this was just golden audio for people like you and I working on radio shows, but Pete Hegseth's speech before the generals yesterday, that was quite something. And of course, CNN couldn't help themselves. They had to go all over the respect issue and, you know, what did the brass really think about this? This is an embarrassment. He called it like he sees it and how most of the country sees it, and there's blowback from the legacy media.
Absolutely. It actually, between what Hegseth said and what Trump said to the generals in front of that huge flag on stage, it actually was kind of Patton-esque. It actually kind of was. If you go back and kind of end up where we started, going back to an old movie reference, the old George C. Scott movie of Patton when he's on stage, here's the thing about what makes Trump work and what makes Hegseth work and why the Democrats are so frazzled is because the country loves a winner more than they like people that are right. And so far, Trump's winning, and people like it when you're winning. It's a different mentality. What Hegseth is doing is, look, we don't want a fair fight. We don't want a military where we have to make it equal and fair so that if somebody we go up against, well, at least we're making the opportunities available by lowering the standards for women and other groups that that want to participate as well. We're going to lower our standards. No, the heck with that. What we're going to do is we are going to maintain a force with such overwhelming capacity and lethality that anybody that dares threaten us is going to face consequences they can't even imagine.
Right, exactly. Hey, by the way, isn't there a little risk for the Democrats to complain about the physical fitness standards and the difference between men and women? Won't they have to admit that there are differences between the sexes if they criticize that part of the plan?
You think?
Yes.
I mean, that was also not very foresighted in how they're fighting that, right?
Nope, but that's typical. Dwayne Patterson, he writes at hotair.com. Look for the new column tomorrow. Also, the Dwayne's World podcast. You have a great week.
Thank you, sir.
All right, we'll see you.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.